Ancient Magic, A Survey of the Technical Hermetica by Kristen Fanku, Master of Arts, Soror Rosicrucis. Less well known than the philosophical hermetica of the Corpus Hermeticum, a large number of ancient technical or practical volumes on magic, alchemy, astrology, and a host of other subjects are also part of the Hermetic legacy. In this survey, Professor Fanku introduces readers to the Technical Hermetica and its wide array of themes. At first, these texts seem very different from the sublime mysticism of the Philosophical Hermetica. However, modern scholarship indicates that both are a part of a consistent whole, the Hermetic transmission of the wisdom of ancient Egypt. The Technical Hermetica begin here below and ascend, while the Philosophical Hermetica complete the journey above. As the Emerald Tablet of Hermes teaches, as above, so below, and as below, so above, to accomplish the marvels of the one work. Erect and dignified, the ancient Egyptian stands, swathed in a simple cloak with shining armband and bracelet, scepter in his right hand. In front of him, smoke from an incense burner wafts upward from a small table. A shooting star, the astrological sign for Mercury, and the letter A gleam in the background. This ancient Egyptian is the Magus, represented on the first of 22 cards of the Tarot's Major Arcana, part of an early Rosicrucian publication, which blends traditional Tarot themes with Egyptian symbolism. The Magus, the magician, the one who uses secret knowledge of forces in the natural and divine worlds to perform miracles. Although Egyptian magic gradually changed as the Greeks and Romans influenced it more than 2,000 years ago, magic was still very much alive in Greco-Roman Egypt, where the Technical Hermetica were created. This ancient sense of magic can be seen in these Technical Hermetica, the textual counterparts of the Philosophical Hermetica. Focusing primarily on esoteric magic, astrology, and the alchemy of the last century before the Common Era to the 3rd century of the Common Era, these works build on Aristotle's objective investigation and classification of phenomena. But mingled with this is a belief in universal forces that can be advantageous once one knows the esoteric, magical knowledge. The Technical Hermetica show the human will and ability to penetrate and make use of the secret, hidden powers of the natural and divine worlds. The Greek magical papyri, a collection of hundreds of spells, formula, rituals, and hymns, show the diverse use for magic in late antiquity. The papyri, which contain material from Greco-Roman Egypt of the 2nd century before the Common Era to the 5th century of the Common Era, represent an eclectic blend of traditions and were created to control what the ancients saw as the unfathomable scramble of energies coming out of the universe. The magicians using these spells functioned as crisis managers, who, with their handbooks of magic and code words, could persuade people that the magicians could make things work in a world where nothing seemed to work the way it used to. This catalog of spells spans nearly every situation imaginable. The spells relate to everyday life, catching a thief, keeping bugs out of the house, healing a scorpion sting, social relationships, gaining favor with another, going before a superior, getting friends, romance, attracting a lover, binding a lover, separating a man from a woman, and other miscellaneous desires, invoking a demon or god, bringing a vision or dream, foretelling the future, attaining invisibility. Those using the spells had a multiplicity of spirits and gods to invoke. Moreover, the beauty of magic was its offering an extraordinary number of options to its practitioners. The spells call for specific ingredients and actions to be followed very precisely. In the Greek magical papyri 1.232 through 4.7, for example, a memory spell, the one performing the ritual must take hieratic papyrus and write the prescribed names with Hermetic ink. The names must then be washed off into spring water from seven springs. This water had to be drunk on an empty stomach for 7 days while the moon was in the east. Then, 5 lines of specified text had to be written on a strip of papyrus, washed off, and drunk. The ink had to be composed of 6 specific ingredients, which were burned together. The magical power of the names was produced after they were washed off and consumed. The Greek magical papyri promised their readers and users magical methods of controlling the natural and divine worlds for concrete, short-term purposes. Still, some of the Greek magical papyri move beyond the mundane realm. Greek magical papyri 4.475 through 829, for example, starts by requiring herb and spice juices and addresses the forces of earth, air, water, and fire with mystical noises. But the invocation asks for immortal birth to my underlying nature so that I may gaze upon the immortal. The initiate seeks divine rebirth through magical techniques. Although many classical scholars have denigrated the magical Hermetic texts as merely superstitious, others see them as a collection of great religious literature. The Greek magical papyri represent a broad range of religions and cultures, including Greek and Jewish, with an especially strong influence from Egyptian religion. They also reveal significant insights as to how Jews, Christians, and pagans perceived their world. Magic strongly influenced the educated population in Hellenistic and Roman society, as well as the less educated. Serenides, another of the technical Hermetic texts, illustrates the secret forces of nature and how they can be learned and magically used to ensure success, protection, and healing. A compilation from several earlier treatises, Serenides dates to the 1st or 2nd century of the Common Era, though a large portion goes back to the Hellenistic period from the 4th century before the Common Era forward. Book 1 of 6 surviving books of Serenides uses the magical characteristics of animals, plants, birds, stones, and fish, which represent the 4 elements of nature: earth, air, water, and fire. With all 4 elements used in concert, the magical power of the remedy was strengthened Further, the names of the birds, plant, stone, and fish all begin with the same letter, and in some cases are homonyms, which, for the ancients, increased the curative power even further, since the word held the essence of the object it described. At the close of each chapter, directions for creating an amulet are given. A stone engraved with the animal, plant, stone, and fish for that chapter, as well as instructions as to when to wear it and what benefits the wearer can expect. For example, in Book 1, Chapter 3, entitled Gamma, the plant, bird, fish, and stone all begin with the Greek letter gamma. The accompanying description of the amulet reads, "If you engrave in a gnaioth stone an owl, and under its feet the fish, glaucus, you enclose the latter's eyes and you wear it, you will seem noble to the people when darkness has come. For those who see you will think that you are inspired by the god. When daylight comes, they will trust everything you say. If you wear it in bed, it will show you unerring dreams." Although the owl, Glos, was thought to be the bearer of the evil eye, the embodiment of envy, Phathanos, invidia, and therefore an evil omen, the owl's ability to foretell the future, the amulet promises unerring dreams, is frequently mentioned in Serenades and is sacred to Athena. The owl, too, has her wisdom. That the amulet with the owl confers a benefit on its wearer at night and in daytime comes from the idea that the owl is both a nocturnal bird and a sun emblem in antiquity. Lastly, the fish, Glaucus, corresponds to a sea deity named Glaucus, famous for the gift of prophecy. So both the owl and the fish denote divination and prophecy, promising it to the hopeful amulet wearer. The 24 amulets in Book 1 promise success of all kinds, cures for medical problems, respect from others, freedom from fear, in general, a plethora of remedies for nearly all situations. The theme dominating the amulet description is verbal magic, verbal homeopathy. Each of the four elements in the composition has its magical function, but the combination and magical link among the elements make the amulet more powerful. The magical link is usually a verbal one, using the alphabet, homonyms, or homophones. Serenades is the largest surviving example of Greek literature that treats a broad spectrum of natural phenomena, highlighting their magical and medical uses. This work would later have significant influence on medico-magical thought in Western Europe. There are other botanical works in the collection of Technical Hermetica: the Liber Saucer, Astrological Botany, From Hermes Trismegistus to Asclepius, On Plants and the Seven Planets, On the Plants of the 12 Signs by Hermes Trismegistus, and the Holy Book of Hermes to Asclepius, could be termed botanical. This last work uses plants and the Decans as a basis for its botanical prescriptions. A Decan is a subdivision of the area covered by a sign of the zodiac. Other Hermetic treatises deal with astrological medicine, including Canonion, or Organon of Hermes Trismegistus, Iatromathematica of Hermes Trismegistus to Amun the Egyptian, and the Book of Asclepius, called myriogenesis. Myriogenesis looks at the medical effects of the theory of correspondence between the human microcosm and the universal macrocosm. In addition, one pharmacological hermetic text still survives: 15 stars, stones, plants, and images, which singles out particular stars as determinants of pharmaceutical power. In addition to the hermetic works that discuss the magic of the forces in the natural world, several hermetic treatises deal with astrology, which is a mix of Babylonian and Greek streams of thinking and practice. The most important work, the Liber Hermetis, originally from the 3rd century before the Common Era, gives the fullest discussion on astrology. The work is a composite with pieces spanning the period of the 3rd century before the Common Era, astrological material used by Egyptian priests in the temple, to the 3rd or 4th centuries of the Common Era. The first section of the book deals with the 36 decans, the forces that influence over one-third of a sign of the zodiac, each influencing 10 degrees of the zodiacal circle. The 36 decans are listed. Each is linked to what was considered the proper sign of the zodiac and related to a planet. Each decan is named, connected with a sign, and linked to a geographic area and area of the human body influenced by the decan. The astrologer needed this information to make specific forecasts and, in a sense, functioned as a kind of magician in possessing and using arcane astrological knowledge. The decan's influence on the terrestrial human world shows the as above, so below principle on which all astrology and hermetism is founded. The Liber Hermetis compares with the 6th excerpt of a hermetic text found in the Stobaei Hermetica, an anthology of philosophical hermetic excerpts collected by 5th century Greek compiler Johannes Stobaeus. In this excerpt, in a dialogue with his disciple Tat, Hermes explains the role that the decans play in determining what takes place in the world. At the conclusion of the dialogue, this knowledge of the decans is made a requirement for the vision of the deity, which fosters an understanding of all reality. For the writer of this hermetic text, the decans had a very significant role in the cosmic system, and understanding the cosmos and how it functioned required an awareness of the role of these decans. However, later philosophical or spiritual hermetists insisted on the soul's need to transcend the realm of fate before it could be joined with the divine. Other astrological works from the Technical Hermetica include excerpts from the work attributed to Nicepso and Pet Osiris, an Egyptian pharaoh and high priest, respectively. The manuscript dates from about 300 before the Common Era. It is an astrological textbook used as the principal source of material for all later Greek astrology. Further, there are the astrological treatises, the Panaretos, the Secret Method of Hermes Trismegistus, and On the Denomination and Power of the 12 Places. Other works, such as Brontologion, discussed the meaning of thunder as it occurred in different months, while the Periseismon linked earthquakes to astrological signs. Astrology held a prominent place in the Hellenistic and Roman worldview, and produced much Hermetic literature. Its ideas greatly influenced both the technical and philosophical Hermetica. Hermetic writers were also attracted to the magic of alchemy, the transformation of base metals into precious ones, silver and gold. Before the Common Era, many alchemical tracts surfaced which were attributed to Hermes and others. The last of these treatises, of about 30, which date from the 2nd or 3rd century of the Common Era, exist as fragments. One of the longer fragments, Anepigraphos, is an extended metaphor on creating silver by cooking and melting several different substances. Another alchemical work, Isis, the Prophetess to her son Horus, is a dialogue in which the angel Amnael reveals the mystery of alchemy. Some of the alchemists had a higher goal, which related to the human soul and its connection to the divine. The alchemists' initial preoccupation with imitating the color and appearance of precious metals gradually evolved into the thought that metals were made of a lifeless physical base or body, and an animating principle or soul, which gave uniqueness to the physical base. They believed they could transmute base metals into gold by manipulating the soul. This body-soul distinction inspired the more philosophically inclined alchemists to use alchemical imagery to describe the human soul's purification. In this way, the alchemical process became symbolic of a spiritual experience, one of transformation and renewal. Still, most of the extant Hermetic alchemical literature is late, and none of the treatises show much individual spiritual sentiment. However, with the alchemist Zosimus of Panopolis, who lived in Alexandria around 300 of the Common Era, we see a spiritual quality in his alchemical work that has come from his reading of the philosophical Hermetica. In this eclectic mix that make up the technical Hermetica, different types of and uses for magic can be seen, from the Greek magical papyri and Serenades to the astrological and alchemical texts. We see the human will to use magical knowledge to enhance life and health, create order and stability, and advance inchoate sciences, such as alchemy. Many ancients undoubtedly viewed magic as mysterious and were awestruck by its efficacy in various situations. The Rosicrucian Order, Amorc, too, teaches its members marvelous things which might seem magical to others. However, the order bases its teachings on natural laws that govern the universe. Still, the manifestations are not necessarily less awe-inspiring for that. Scholar Antoine Fevre sums up the main points of Hermetic philosophy this way. The characteristic of all Hermesian gnosis is to emphasize human power and will in the climb or reascension towards spiritual enlightenment. Each human being is considered to be a potential magus who can accomplish marvelous actions. As we readers of the Technical Hermetica reflect upon the techniques and philosophy of the ancient Hermetists, even though very different from our own, we may better appreciate the forms their magic took. This may help us rekindle our own contemporary sense of awe, inspire us to spiritualize our experience, and, if we choose, gradually to become magi ourselves.